This podcast contains sexually explicit discussion, and if you're under 18, then it's time to switch off, as it's meant for your parents. And believe us, you really don't want to listen now.
Hi, I'm Mr. G.
I'm Mrs. G.
And we are...
The Sexless Swingers.
So, Mrs. G, this is episode 31.
It is.
We released episode 30 just over 2.5 weeks ago now.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we've been busy. Life stuff.
Half term.
Exactly. And it just zaps us of time to record, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty busy. I mean, we had loads of feedback on episode 30.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was good.
Which was good. It seemed as though we sort of sparked discussion between partners who chat and chat about the episode whilst listening, which is really nice.
Well, then we've had people that reached out and gone, oh, that made us chat about... It made us think about that. It made us chat about that. Yeah. And we didn't really intend for it to do that the last episode, did we? But for some reason, it's been a bit thought-provoking, I think.
Well, we were really mainly chatting. If you've not heard it, feel free to go back and listen. But it was mainly chatting about spending time with lifestyle people, but not necessarily having to play if you don't feel like it, etc. Really great feedback. So thanks for everybody who's messaged in. Back to the beginning, Mrs. G, what are you wearing and what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a brew, which for the Americans and everywhere else in the world, I'd be like, what? What's she drinking? It's been Halloween. No, I'm having a cup of tea, but it's a Mr. G cup of tea because this is actually one of the reasons I married you, was your tea making skills.
I know, you told me at the time.
I still stand by it now.
Just taking anything I could get, why not?
No, you do a killer cup of tea. I think it would have been all the training you were given as a kid growing up, probably.
Probably.
But yeah, apart from that, though, I'm bringing sexy back again. I'm here in my tracky bottoms and my sweatshirt. But it's a bit chilly, and I did do a workout today. So I had my optimistic fitness wear on, my active wear on this morning. I'd done my workout, and then I got my shower, and I was like, I didn't want to get my pyjamas on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
I'm not at that level yet. I'm heading there.
Quite a lot of people at our local Sainsbury's do think it's the appropriate time of day to wear.
People in Sainsbury's don't dress like that.
Even with the rolls in the hair.
Yeah.
Apologies if any of you listeners do that. That's fine. It's up to you. You do you. Last week we went on a vanilla day ourselves, didn't we? Just me and you.
I know. Who knew we could still do that, eh?
I know. We went to see a fantastic play at the theatre. We won't spoil it. It was called 222, A Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Perfect for Halloween.
Well, it'd been on in the West End. It got rave reviews in the West End, and they had lots of celebrity, kind of well-known people that were taking some of the main roles.
Did they?
Yeah, they did in West End. And I guess that kind of sparked people that maybe wouldn't ordinarily go to the theatre as well. Go, oh, right, what's this then? So I saw it advertised. It was coming up to Manchester and we booked.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, we enjoyed it. So yeah,
really thought-provoking.
Twist. Yeah, it's a really good twist. It's got a good ending, hasn't it?
It is, yeah. Because I actually said to you at the interval, how are they going to end this?
Yeah, you did, yeah. And that's good when theatre makes you think.
Yeah, and there was loads of sort of relationship issues in there, I think.
Yeah.
It's newly sort of...
We didn't go watching it for that.
No, but some interesting sort of dynamics about when the baby comes along and
yeah,
then
how it changes,
possibly
yeah.
unresolved issues with somebody in your past.
Yeah.
And how when you actually go from being just partners to living together, how again that power dynamic between you can shift because, you know, she
and
was...
And it shifts again when you have a baby.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. So really, really, really good. More lifestyle sort of time we spent a couple of weekends ago. We went on another social.
Oh, the KK brunch one.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was nice. It was, we've never done a brunch one before. And it was basically, the idea of this came about because we should have been on a local-ish social in a couple of weeks' time, but we can't because we have a family commitment.
Yes.
And we'd originally booked and then the family commitment came up and we had to change. And so there was a small group of people as a sort of...
Offshoot,
of that social that said, oh, we're going to do a brunch meetup. So we were like, all right, we can do that. So we did. And it was quite funny because What did we meet? We met about 10:30 in the morning.
Yes, we did.
And we were very sensible. We did have actual food.
We did.
We didn't drink any alcohol.
Did you not?
No.
Are you
not
sure?
I'm 100% positive. Wow. I know. But we had to go and pick the girls up from drama school, didn't we? So we had to come back. We picked our children up. We threw bread at them and cheese or something or other, fed them. And then we were like naughty kids because we kind of went, should we go back in?
Yeah,
and
well,
we did, didn't we?
We'd not intended to. We'd sort of said we'd go along from about 10:30 till about 12:30, say hello. We knew a few of the people. We had messages with a few of the people. But we went along and there was about 10 of us at that stage, wasn't there? But there was more due to go in the afternoon. I don't think we knew any of the ones going.
We'd had a few messages with some of them.
Yeah, there was some friends of some friends going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, we decided to go back in because we'd had fun in the morning.
Yeah. And everyone had had a lot to drink by the time we got back in. We had to catch up a little bit, didn't we?
A little bit, yeah. Spent a fortune, actually, on drinks.
We were drinking a lot, though, I guess.
Yeah.
And it costs a lot to drink out.
No, it does, it does.
So there was lots of dancing and there's a bit of flirting. I don't think there was really much more than that because it kind of...
That, it was a very vanilla venue, wasn't it?
It was a very vanilla venue. So, yeah, it wouldn't have been appropriate. It was very busy as well. In Manchester City Centre, from now, from sort of mid-October through to, you know, after Christmas, it's madness, Manchester, isn't it?
I think it would be
so
fine
busy
for kissing and so forth, but it just, nobody kicked it off, really, did they?
No, I think we're too busy sort of dancing and chatting,
yeah,
which is also fine because a lot of these people are either going on the birthday ball, which is the mansion, Killing Kittens Mansion,
yes,
event, or they're coming on our little bottomless brunch social that we're organising.
We're organising that for December.
I think we feel like we've kind of met these people and we've broken the seal.
Well, also, bizarrely, two of the couples that were on the social, we met them for the first time, actually live within a couple of miles of us.
Oh, it's
literally,
we could walk
2 miles,
to their
walking
house.
Distance.
Yeah. I think we're starting to see that we actually live in a...
Swinger neighbourhood.
Swingerville. We're in Swingerville, aren't we?
We still think the neighbours are the closest...
Yes,
that we know.
Yeah, marginally, yeah. I mean, when we walk Pub Dog at night and we now have a chat and say, how many more are there that we just don't know about?
There's got to be
walking
loads
past the houses and stuff. They're everywhere. Swingers.
It looks though the pandemic has literally just taken the lid off.
You can't keep blaming COVID for everything.
No. And I think it just sort of hit reset and sort of made you think,
reset,
well,
yeah,
life's too short.
Yeah,
we've got, and speaking for no doubt a few people out there as well, we've got a rock solid relationship, but you know what, a bit of excitement and a bit of liberalness.
Let's have a new hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
We've done with the jigsaws, let's move on to sex.
Never been into jigsaws, always preferred sex. It's just you've caught me up a little bit, that's all.
There we go.
So, you know, no more are you the 1,000 pieces, you're the, you know, you're the orgy instead. So, one of our friends has just been away recently to visit a relative in America.
Oh, yeah.
And he strongly believes, or they strongly believe, it's a couple, they strongly believe that this relative may well have been, or still is, in lifestyle.
Well, let's just cut to the chase. They call her the swinger, auntie.
They do. They'd had the suspicions, and they'd mentioned it to us a few times, and the gentleman actually said, was texting us from America, and he said, first thing she does, doesn't quell the suspicion because she whips out a pineapple tea towel. And this couple are actually one of the couples joining us on the cruise next year.
Yeah.
And he said that they talked about that with her.
Yeah, she was very interested, apparently.
That's what he texted us. I said, well, you know,
invite
bring her
along.
Well,
it did start a bit of a conversation, though, didn't it?
Hmm.
Where we were chatting about this. Because I know two other people who are in the lifestyle who their dad was. One person, it's their dad that was in the lifestyle. And this other couple that we know, it's their uncle that's in the lifestyle.
I know the ones you mean.
So it made us question, well, it made me question, and I started chatting with you, is there something in your blood? Like, hereditary? Hereditary?
Yes.
Did that word come out? I feel like I was speaking complete gibberish. Hereditary.
You might be speaking gibberish, but the word is right.
You know, is there something genetic? You should know. You do all the family tree stuff. The swingers in the family, love.
I'm going to piss on your chips here, because knowing a little bit about DNA and genetics and things like that, because my geeky sort of family history hobby, I would say there is highly likely to be no link at all genetically. Mm. It's probably more of a social conditioning thing.
So do you think?
If, for example, you grow up as a child and your mum and dad are particularly liberal, or your mum, your dad and dad,
So
and you see them with other partners, then you're going to grow up and that becomes normal. So I think it's probably more of that. The example we've just given of the guy's auntie, I don't know if he grew up around her, so I don't know if there's anything there or not.
But I don't know. We should look into whether there's any real, definite medical research into your sexual preferences.
Now, sexual preferences and things like that, I do believe that could be genetic to a degree. So things like, we're not going to go down...
Well, like kinks.
Well, yeah, we're not going to go down a rabbit hole here, but things like how much caffeine you like and whether you like greasy food or not, that can be a genetic thing.
So, yeah, do you not think there's a... You could argue the point that is your upbringing also? No,
well, you could do, but there are genetic traits around...
Is there?
Yes.
You do know this for definite?
Yeah, it's things like, there's all sorts of things that you get traits in your genes.
So if it can be in your genes that you like coffee or fatty foods or something, then surely it can be in your genes that you quite like sex with other people.
Well, theoretically, everybody should like, well, most probably will like sex with other people.
No, I mean in a ethical, non-monogamous way.
No, well, that's a whole other conversation of whether or not, as a mammal, you're built to be monogamous.
I would argue
it's social conditioning that makes us monogamous more than nature.
I agree with you, but I still question whether there is something in the brain. Like, I'm not in any which way scientific like this, so I don't know, but I would question whether there is something in the brain, like a little bit of something extra.
Maybe we've got scientists listening.
If there's scientists listening and you actually know something for a fact about this potential side of your brain that means you are more liberal when it comes to sexual activities, is that hereditary?
I don't think the liberalness will be. Where I think it probably is hereditary is things like a predisposition to perhaps being more dominant or submissive.
You don't think that's a social thing?
I think it could lean into it, but I do think it's probably a genetic thing at the heart of it.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. Mm. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just discussing that. I'm not sure I agree. I think being dom or sub is 100% your upbringing.
I don't, you see.
Do you not?
No, because I think you will get siblings, for example, where one will be completely sub and one will be dominant.
Because one sibling will be sibling number one and one will be sibling number two or middle sibling. That societal thing around those children is what forms their choices as they grow, and then therefore when they become sexually active can form whether they are submissive or dominant or where they feel
comfortable.
Possibly.
I mean, there's arguments both ways. It's things like if you're a voyeur or an exhibitionist. If you're a voyeur, it might be because, and you know, Freud would have a field day here, but you may have watched adults, neighbours, parents, even you may have watched them as a kid, got excited, and a lot of things like that then do come through in your preferences as you're older.
It is fascinating. I'd like to understand it better.
Maybe you should have a look at some books or something around the subject.
That means reading and sitting down, of which I don't have the time to do. I need a podcast if I listen to one.
Yeah, there must be one somewhere.
I'll have a route.
A good one with proper research.
Yeah, proper people that know what they're talking about.
But yeah, it's certainly an interesting subject. And I don't know, anybody listening out there, do you have relatives that are in the lifestyle?
Yeah.
You might not even know.
Well, you'd obviously need to know to be able to respond to that question.
Trolling through Fab or KK or Swing Hub or whatever. And
you
pops.
Found a relative on Fab.
I did.
Have we ever discussed this?
I can't remember.
You have discussed it on the podcast, but it's a relative and you found them organising socials and such like.
It wasn't a social, it was a blowjob party at a sex club.
Okay, bit more than a social. There you go, seeing your family.
But my family's
You're
huge.
The bad one. I'm the innocent one in all of this.
Well, that's interesting because, again, that suggests just your natural being there.
Yeah, yeah.
Said the bad one.
The bad one. That would
be because of your church upbringing.
Yeah.
Sex is bad.
100%.
Or
it's absolutely
sex
there.
For a woman is bad. It yeah. shouldn't be liberal. And I'm...
And it's a conditioning that's yeah. deep, deep set in now, you.
Interestingly, out of us two, who do you think is the more liberal one? I don't mean politically, sexually.
Oh, you mean sexually? Liberal. Depends on the day, depends on the circumstances, depends on the time, depends how many vodkas I may have had.
To make you loose.
I mean, my initial thought goes to you, but in many ways it doesn't, because I would say that with your upbringing, you are far more conventional in your thoughts.
That's probably
of
more around
work.
Marriage and relationship rather than
but
sex.
But sex
then.
Is connected with that, because you're a married man.
Well, obviously.
Right, so it has to
but
be connected with that.
Your upbringing was very similar. You grew up, your parents are still together now after many, many years.
They are, but their life...
Were they swingers?
Who knows, but their life before me was very free, living free, loving, and it wasn't conventional. They didn't live in this country. They had a very different way of life to most parents of the 60s and 70s. Now, yes, I then came along and they moved back to the UK and they kind of had to get jobs and all the rest of it. You can't take away from them that time that they had and how that will have formed them as people and how they then became parents.
Yeah, you've never had a... Until recently, you've always had steady relationships, though, haven't you?
Yeah, but they're steady in their relationship. Mm. As you say, they've been together for years and years and years. But they have a tight... Yeah, there was just... I think they're just quite open-minded people.
Yeah, I would agree they're open-minded.
And I think, given their ages that they are now, that I don't think there'd be anything that could really shock them.
No, I'd agree with that.
But I still wouldn't
pretty
be...
pretty open-minded.
I still wouldn't be telling them about what we do, because...
No, we chatted about this with somebody else.
We chatted about it on the podcast, and I think, even though they would be accepting in many ways of what we chose to do, because they'd just be like, it's your life, you're of an age to make your own decisions... I'm not sure they'd be stepping forward to provide childcare yeah. while we went and did that.
Yeah, somebody else had this discussion with yeah. us as well. And I agree, it's one thing looking after the kids to let us go for a weekend away,
yeah.
to go working. It's something else if they think, well, you're going to have sex with lots of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
However open-minded they are, yeah. I'm not sure they would be open-minded yeah. to facilitating.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many parents would be, typically. If they
Unless
knew what...
they've been in the lifestyle. And yeah. there you go, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, an interesting one. So, one thing that we are looking forward to this coming weekend
yeah.
is a fabulous Killing Kittens mansion ball.
Well, it's their birthday ball, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this is a new venue that they've never used before. We have had a bit of there's been a rumour mill about where this place is.
Yeah, even once we know,
we're not allowed to say.
Not on the podcast anywhere. You're not supposed to tell anybody really. But
but we've kind of put two and two together, and we think we've come up with four, not five, and we think we've found the venue.
Well, it looks like a huge mansion hotel,
like
effectively
enormous.
A stately home that's been converted into a very large hotel.
Yeah.
And not only have they taken that over, there's also three other hotels yeah. in the vicinity, which are basically taken over as well.
The hotel where the actual ball is, the Killing Kittens ball, that's all that's been taken over. So the venue of where the event is, the hotel rooms have all been fully booked there, and then they've gone to three.
Yeah, because we couldn't book.
We couldn't get into that particular venue, and then they've got three other hotels in the immediate vicinity, and they're all fully booked as well.
Yeah.
So there's
and then there's
hundreds.
Lots of like little premier inns and offshoots and things.
But
and...
what we have said, what we've noted, because this we're going on this event in a few days' time.
I mean, this is basically what you've been waiting for.
Yeah, I think.
Well, in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I think, because what I think in my mind, I can only answer after the event
no,
as to whether
absolutely.
It's materialised. But what we've noted is they've opened the chat group for this particular event.
Literally 8 days before.
8 days beforehand. And so it's far, it's too busy.
Well, there's, to put some context on for people, there are around 450 people in this one single chat group for the event.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just so fast-paced.
I mean, literally, I would guess there's around 100 messages per hour, at least.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things you can dip in, dip out, but it was interesting because you're, usually speaking, you're very good on the chats. You're very good at
kind of,
you can tune in, you tune out, and you kind of have the ability to, your brain has the ability to do lots of other things and do a chat group as well. Whereas I'm a little bit kind of, no, I'm doing that, so I need to switch off the chat group, and then I kind of have to do it that way. But even you said tonight, this is too much.
Well, I think I mentioned, I don't know, 3-4 episodes ago, we did our friends, the neighbours, ran a social in Manchester, and that was a very busy chat
group.
How
many was on that chat group, though?
It was, I don't know, 50.
That was fast-paced as well. But it feels different when it's fast-paced with a group of people that you start to recognise the names.
This when is just, yeah.
It's just, if you can imagine a virtual orgy of a chat group, that's what this is. It's like, who is this chatting this? Who's sticking a dick there? Who's sticking a tit here? Who's putting an arm here? It's just, it's just too much.
Yeah.
To get anything quality from it.
Well, yeah, and there's some offshoots. So, for example, the hotel we're staying at, there's a group for that. Now, that's capped at 100 people. People are having to leave to let new people. So, generally, quite a lot of partners, there's just one partner on it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And that's just for our hotel.
And then we've also got a North Does Mansion group, which somebody set up.
Yeah, I think that's got about 30 members on.
So that's just the Northerners who we all kind of know each other a bit.
Yeah, and that's sort of been brought together. That's not everybody from the North going, but there's a group. That's been good, actually.
That's been good. That I find much more manageable. I find that more quality. But it's just interesting how, you know, when we talk about chat groups and things like that, and we say how important it is to get involved on the chat groups before you go to an event. We've said this all along, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Try socials. This is how you're going to get into things. If there's a chat group beforehand.
From our side of things,
From our experience, get involved in the chat group. Get to know some names. Get to know some faces if the face is out. Then you go to the social and you're kind of hitting the ground where you've already had a bit of a discussion with somebody. But we'd never really considered a chat group with so many people and the effects of that. But we're living that now.
The North group that we're on for KK, there's about 250 people on that, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot don't chat very often.
No.
So you've probably got a core of 40 or 50 on there. And that works pretty well. Is it just too big a group? And there's obviously, you can see one or two on there who probably have been to several of the KK events before.
Established people.
Yeah, and you can see that a little bit. Some of the community kittens who sort of...
I suppose
manage the group in some ways.
And I think, you know, there's some regular names that we kind of know, that we recognise. But even to us, who, fair enough, we're not vastly experienced, but we're relatively experienced when it comes to a social. We've been to quite a few events and things. So it's not like we're brand new. But even to me, I'm a bit like, whoa, I'm not sure about this. It's just
non-stop.
Yeah, and there's just so many six-packs on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Men, where's my dad bods? I mean, I love a dad bod. Where are they?
I don't know. There's certainly an awful lot of six packs.
I'm wondering whether the dad bod men are just not getting. And I don't like that term dad bod. I think it's a bit nasty in many ways. But we're just going to use it because everyone knows what I mean by the shape of body. Just a regular, normal shaped man.
But I'm guessing that ultimately, if you're working hard to get a six-pack, you're more likely to want to show it off.
Yeah, and I wonder whether the guys that are just a regular shape are kind of thinking, oh, I can't put a picture on here because, like, Mr. Amazing there has got his six-pack.
Let's face it, there are a lot of very attractive men and women on that group.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting when we turn up, because I often find this, often, where we rock up and I go, oh, everyone looks so much more normal in the real life.
No, this brings me on to a point of where I think we could have, not us particularly, but there could be a problem at the ball, is everybody wears masks.
Yeah.
it's a masquerade ball, which is hot and sexy and so on. How are you going to recognise anybody?
You will know there's certain people who we will absolutely know. Not only that, we've got a pre-drinks at our particular hotel where there's, what, 100 people or so?
I would imagine, looking at the group.
And we're not going to have masks on in the hotel. 130
maybe?
Can you imagine?
No, true.
An influx of all these lifestyle people with the masks walking on. What convention are you on? Well, it's a bit of a sex thing. So no, that's not going to be happening. So we will get to know them and you'll recognise dresses and outfits and all
we
that.
I'm thinking we probably already know at least 30 or 40 people going.
I would think so, maybe more. But that's not probably even 10%.
I know. It's.
That's why I'm a bit, whoa.
It's going to be epic, I think.
It's either going to be play on the senses of this is mad, like everything's going off, or it's going to be this is too bloody much and I can't work out which way it's going
to
go.
Angelina, who unfortunately can't go to the mansion, her and Brad, she sent us a little video clip of a TV programme she's watching on Netflix at the moment, White Lines it's called. First episode, there's an orgy scene.
Mm-hmm.
And basically...
Is that the first episode? I thought it was... Oh, it's the first,
No, it's
the
first episode. Basically, it's a big orgy scene where they're all wearing masks.
Yeah.
That's going to be the KKD, I'm convinced.
Well, that's what we think it's going to be. That's the impression that we have.
That's what people who've been to previous events have told us it's like.
Yeah, I just don't know how I feel about the whole mask thing. I like the idea.
You take him off the play, I think.
Yeah.
You worry he's going to get in your way when you're talking cock or something?
No, it's not that. I don't know. I don't know where I'm feeling about the whole mask thing. I think it's because you can't really see the face and it. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see how it's going to pan out.
Could be an advantage for a lot of people.
It might be. Take the mask off. Fuck off. No way. I don't know. I can't see how it's going to pan out. I can't see...
It's going to be... It'll be an experience.
It'll be an experience. I think that's absolutely 100%.
I think it will be an assault on the senses.
I think I agree with you. It's going to be really interesting to podcast about it, I think, because anybody that's been a long-term listener has known that we are basically, we love how KK do things or any unofficial socials we've been on, the people we've met, and we've often said, you know, we just feel it's our space.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pinnacle of that.
Yeah, because I would say out of all the events, this is the one.
Yeah.
However... There is a ball in February which we won't be able to go to, but it's in Venice, which is the birthplace of the masquerade ball.
And Italian men.
Well, not necessarily, because I'm guessing a lot of KKs will travel.
There'll be Italians there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we can't go to that.
But as a sort of a self-proclaimed sapiosexual, would it not bother you if you couldn't speak the language?
No. When it comes to Italians, no. Let's just see how it pans out. We will feed back.
You excited?
That's not a word I'd use. And that's really interesting because you would think I would be.
That might be a more general frame of mind rather than...
It could be. I would say there may actually be a slight feeling of trepidation. A bit, what are we walking into? What control do I have? You know me with control. If I feel like it's being taken away from me, I'm...
Well, you'll have the ultimate control because
it's kitten-led. I get that.
Well, you do what you want to do as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You're asking me today and tomorrow I could feel differently and on the day I could feel differently and as I walk into the event, I could feel differently. That's how I am. So sat right now, that's kind of... I feel a little bit... But then I think it's because that chat group is so bloody big. There's so many six packs. And I'm a bit like, whoa. But
Worried you'll be spoiled for choice?
No, I'm not. I'd rather have some regular people. Like...
There'll be regular people.
I have said before, and I don't mean any disrespect to people with six packs, but I haven't yet met somebody with a six pack that's got anything to say for themselves.
No, I disagree.
And that's my concern, is they're not going to have anything to say
for themselves. There's our friend who's... got the six pack.
Oh, him. Yes. He has got a six pack, but he's very unassuming. He wouldn't stick a six pack picture on chat group.
No, his wife does it for him.
She does.
Hashtag proud.
Ah, good point. Yeah, all right. You have got a good point there. And they are lovely, lovely people, actually, to be fair. I don't know. I need to kind of, I think I feel like I need to put a shift in my mindset. I need to kind of get my fuck on and I need to kind of go, just be in the moment. I need to stop thinking and just do.
I think the other issue is we've had a busy period of time. This is sort of sneaking up on us. I think probably once you're on the train to meet me in London, you will feel...
The mindset might shift then. I'm sure I'll get there. I don't want to come across as like Mrs. Negative about it because I'm not. And it is also, there's probably an element of, you know, like as a child when you're waiting for Christmas and you get to Christmas Eve.
You don't want it to be anticlimactic.
Right, either. And then you kind of get to Christmas Day and then Christmas Day happens and you've had a really good time. But there's an element of...
I'm sure there's a good chance of a good climax for you.
I'm being serious. I don't know. I don't really know fully what to expect, so I'm trying to just go into it. And
it's exciting, though. And so that's this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a certain special Mrs. G's birthday coming up soon as well.
What's our wedding anniversary this weekend?
Oh, it is. What a way to celebrate. Go to a sex party.
Oh, my goodness. Who are we?
Not just any sex party, but possibly, are there any sex parties in the UK bigger than this? I'm convinced
there won't be
sex parties with more than 500 people.
I wouldn't think so. Not of this level, anyway. I think that's what it is. It all feels a bit like, whoa.
In such a salubrious sort of surroundings and so on.
It's a bit overwhelming, maybe. Maybe that's what it is with me. But I'll step up. I always do. And then the week after is my birthday.
Yes. We've got a family party, not your birthday, another family member's birthday.
We have to be very vanilla on my birthday. So I need to make up for it this weekend.
And then we've got our brunch in December. It's a good number of people booked.
Yeah, it's actually been more popular than I probably thought it was going to be. I think it's going to be really good. Because
I do.
We're starting at 2:30 in the afternoon, so it's a kind of a late brunch. But because we've got food, we've got plenty of nice alcohol, and we've got
probably,
entertainment.
Yeah, we probably just have to leave it at some adult-themed entertainment.
Well, it is adult-themed, so it's burlesque. And then we've also booked an area, haven't we, of a bar, so we know that all of us can get in afterwards. There's quite a lot of us staying overnight. I just think it'll be a really nice... crowd of us, and we've met so many of them already.
There's probably only a handful that we've not met.
Yeah, I feel very relaxed. See, that's the thing, I feel really relaxed about that, but maybe that's a comfort zone thing.
Maybe it's also because it's a social, so it's not a play event. It could be.
It could probably.
With so many people staying over, but it's not.
There'll definitely be something kicking
it's
off.
It's not, from what we've heard about the mansion balls, literally they open the playrooms and it is like a
free
fest.
I'm just not sure where my head is with all that.
With the social, you can, you know, it might just be us two, it could be a 4, it could be a 10, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out.
But, really looking forward to that.
I am too.
So talking of looking forward to things, and you said you've got some trepidation around the mansion ball, I'm going to put a suggestion forward now, which I have a lot of trepidation about.
Are you going to ask for bum sex?
Well, we could do that. You actually said on a little chat today that that's basically the area reserved just for your husband.
But it absolutely is.
I'm looking for the key.
It's the special suite. but I also said, because you said, well, when can I get the key? And I said, didn't I, it was subjective to things. But go on.
So, with trepidation, I'm going to suggest possibly that... One of the reasons why you might not be massively looking forward to the ball is because you might be feeling a little bit hormonal at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm brave, aren't I?
Very brave. And you phrased it rather well, so I won't.
I sort of feel as though after the last week I've just got nothing else to lose.
Oh,
so.
My God. Stop. Stop now. Or else the listeners are going to hear my wrath. I think it's possibly, you're right in what you're saying though, in all seriousness. I think we touched on, I don't even know what episode it was, but it was quite early when we talked about HRT, and I was giving
I started some,
so they gave me some progesterone and they gave me some estrogen, and I've been on that for 11 months, 10 months now.
However,
but I just feel like it's not always hitting the mark. I mean, you know, my hormones will be continuing to change because we're all getting older.
I think, to be fair, every woman's hormones shift.
Of course, and it's never just an evil key, you know, an evil sort of balance all the way along. I wish it was, but it's not. But I think I'm trying to find a little bit more of a balance because I don't have like some of the stereotypical symptoms that some ladies that are sort of hitting the perimenopausal phase. I don't have like the hot flushes and things like that, but I do have just proper brain fog times and times where I feel like a small alien has taken over me.
Yeah, I think, I mean, on the brunch social that we went to the other week, one of the guys who's pretty new, he came on his own without his wife. And he was chatting to you and another lady.
Yeah.
And I think he sort of suggested about his wife going through similar sort of things.
He was saying that she never used to get PMT and saying that so all of a sudden, it literally seems to be overnight, she's struggling with PMT. And that's how it was for me. I never had PMT. It'd be like a day or two, wouldn't it, of just feeling like I needed to eat nothing but crisps. And
dare I say you're making up for it.
All right, you need to stop.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Always wonderful. I've got bruises to prove it. No, not really.
So, yeah, I feel like that's how I kind of went. And then one of the ladies that I was that was with us, she said, oh, same thing for me. And we were both chatting with him about HRT.
It's important, though, because there'll be ladies listening.
Oh, yeah, and husbands.
There'll be husbands listening or men listening. And it's important to talk about because it's a real thing and it really affects. So,
well, I mean, I've never felt any shame when it comes to anything with hormones.
It's just time and body.
It's just, yeah. But when I was chatting with, it was actually Angelina, I was chatting about things and she was like, oh yeah, there's still shame sort of that some people relate when you talk about menopause or perimenopause.
Everybody goes through it.
Well, it's just the nature of the beast. The beast being the woman and the nature being the time and things start to change. I was told, I'll tell the listeners, I went for a private consultation, didn't I, a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I think you just got fed up of feeling the way you were feeling.
Yeah, but I also feel like I've not really been listened to by my GP. I mean, and by the sheer description, they are a general practitioner and not a specialist. And so they've approached me with a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
You take this, you do this at this time, and you'll feel better.
And ultimately, if you've got a problem with your heart, you're going to see a heart specialist.
Right.
But the problem is, with menopause, there isn't really anything available in the NHS
there's not much on the NHS and the battles you have to go through to get somebody specialist or in our area anyway. I mean, everyone can be different in different areas,
but we live in a massive city.
Yeah, but still,
so it's more likely to be available near us, you would think, small town.
It could be funding. It's down to whether the doctor or the GP that you're seeing has had any specialist training. You know, if not, it's been eye-opening after I've had some discussions with this doctor that I did see.
Do you want to explain to the listeners, because you've said private, there'll be some people thinking it's thousands and thousands of pounds or it's sort of something that, you know, not everybody can do. Do you just want to be comfortable explaining the cost?
Yeah, so the consultation that I paid for was a consultation that so they do different levels. There's like mini consultations if you only need a quick chat, or there's like a full consultation, which is 40 minutes, which is what I had. What did I pay for it?
Was it £200 to £250?
Yeah, it was like £220, something like that. No, it's not, you know, it's not cheap. It's not like, you know, oh, it's a tenner, there you go. But I think for a lot of people, it can be affordable, that.
And what price, feeling okay?
I mean, it is the price, really, that of a decent meal and a night out, isn't it, for two people?
I said the other week when we did the brunch social.
Yeah.
I think we went back in the afternoon, spent about £200 on drinks for us.
So it is there. You might need to cut back a little bit to do it, or save up for over a couple of months to do it. But honestly, I'd thoroughly, thoroughly recommend it because I actually feel like I've been listened to. And I think that's half the battle, is that with a GP, they have such a limited time. And I get all the reasons why. I'm not complaining about that. I get all the reasons why. But I felt I needed to be listened to for my symptoms that I did have or do have to be understood, because they're not stereotypical. Oh, I get a hot flush, right, you need this. It's other things that I seem to get, and it's the dips in the hormones that I can really obviously feel now, and you can see it. You know, and it's balancing it. It's just a tricky thing. And as I said to the doctor, I'm almost bored of this now. I said, I make myself laugh with the level of procrastination that I put myself through to do certain menial tasks, because the motivation is just like, I cannot get going. And that is not me. I have never been like this. I've never struggled to go for a run. Never struggled to kind of think, oh, I need to go and clean one of the kids' rooms. I just get on with it. And suddenly something's changed. And that, even though I'm on a level of HRT, there's a shift. And to go back to my GP and battle again, I was like, no, I need a specialist. And that's what we've done.
So for the sum of £200-250, you basically got your 40-minute consultation.
And I get a follow-up in about 3-4 months.
And she's prescribed treatment for you.
Yeah.
Which is specially done for the symptoms that you have.
Yeah. So there's masses and masses of questionnaires that I filled in before I went. And to a specialist, lots of the answers made total sense to her. And that made no sense to me, but to have somebody sit there and then break that down and go, you're feeling this because of this. It was like, oh, yes, now, thank you for explaining that to me. And thank you for saying I could help you, because you do get to the point as a woman, it must be so hard to understand as a man, but as a woman, when you feel a lack of control over what your body is doing, what your brain is doing, it's just awful. It's like early pregnancy when you have no control over feeling really sick and really out of body. It's like that almost, where you're like on a roller coaster and you cannot get off.
Yeah, I think from the man's point of view, and I'm pretty sure, you know, our listenership typically is about 85% age sort of 35 to 55.
Yeah, so women will relate, I'm sure.
And, you know, split between men and women. But for the men listening, if your wife is going through similar, it's difficult as a man too. Obviously, we're not going through it, but your wife, I've explained it to you, Mrs. G, that from 1 week to the next, it's almost like you can be two different people.
Yeah. But when, can I just say that that's not me? Like, that's not, you've been with me for 18 years now, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you've history to be able to look back, and you know that's not a regular way that I would be.
No.
You know that as a rule, I'm balanced. I can be feisty when I need to fight a corner on something, but I'm balanced. I'm not kind of like this Jekyll and Hyde. I kind of feel like I need to point that out when you're saying that 1 week to
but
the next.
But now
it's I'm so changeable with what mindset I might be in.
So it could literally be, to give an example, this isn't a real life example with us, but something that's really simple to understand. It's our anniversary next week, and say we weren't going to a massive sex party and we were just going for a meal. I could think, okay, Missy G loves a nice steak. So I'll book a nice steakhouse restaurant, and on the day I could say, right, okay, we're going for a steak because I know it's your favourite. And on one week you could say, fantastic, I love that place. And then if that hormone balance isn't right, it could be like, well, I don't want steak. I never want steak again.
I don't eat steak.
It makes me feel rough. I don't like it. I don't want it. I can't believe you've actually booked it, because I would have wanted, I don't know, Chinese or Italian.
I know.
And to go for steak, that's just so thoughtless. And I can't believe you've done it to me. You're a fuckhead. Leave me alone. And
I mean,
it's,
we're laughing,
that's extreme,
but it's there, yeah.
But effectively, that's what it's like. So
yeah,
1 week it could be perfect. The next week it could be like, well, why have you done that? And
yeah,
it is that Jekyll and Hyde. And I think you wanted to talk about this because obviously everybody's symptoms are different. Everybody happens at different ages. I think everybody knows, it's on Twitter account, you are in your 40s.
Yeah.
Late 40s,
yeah,
I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
And this shit happens.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I think you went for your consultation on Friday, and I think what you wanted to do was put it out there, say to other ladies or husbands, partners, there is somebody you can go see.
Yes, and like we've said, not necessarily, unfortunately, always going to be on the NHS. In some cases, it can be. But if not, don't just take it as there's nobody. Do you know what? Even if it means for your Christmas present, you ask everybody for a bit of money, put it together and go and get a HRT specialist. Because, I've not even started on my new regime yet, have I? But I just feel better having spoken to somebody. And interestingly, I was on progesterone and oestrogen. She's already up my oestrogen. She's also given me yet more oestrogen, like to apply in a different way. And then on top of that, testosterone. So it's really interesting what the NHS might think is absolutely perfect for you. And you have to balance that against potentially what we're budgeted and allowed to have on the NHS, or permitted, should I say.
And because funds aren't limitless.
And I get that. And obviously something's better than nothing. We'll see. We'll see how it pans out. And I'll feed back, because the way we've always done this podcast, it is like a story, it would seem. You know, it's all done in chronological date order, and we're always in real time. And this is where we are right now.
We've got a third co-host now. We've got Mr. G, Mrs. G, Mrs. G2.
You won't beat me thin ice.
No. I'm only actually joking, because there's no way Mrs. G2 would actually record a podcast.
No, she wouldn't. Because Mrs. G2 would tell you to stick it up your arse. Because I don't want to actually sit and chat.
But you offered that before.
But that's not the thing. This is the upsetting thing, is that that isn't me. That's the thing. That's where you feel you lose yourself. Because I can, even like if I've had a moment of, let's call it a moment of madness. People may not like that term, but it feels like that to me. There's a moment of madness where I feel like I am not functioning. I am not seeing things straight. And I might look back on that a couple of hours later and think, that's the upsetting thing, is I don't even recognise who that was.
Hours? Days? I think...
Whenever it is, there's a time of reflection where you kind of go, I don't recognise myself there. And that's the really... the disheartening thing, I suppose.
That's where it's difficult for me and probably other men with their partners, is that it's very difficult to know how to be because... it's so volatile.
Yeah, but you're making me sound like I'm some kind of psycho bitch now. And I don't think I am.
Not volatile in a physical way.
No, I was
going to
say.
But volatile in a
mood. The balance. Yeah, I was going to say. And I don't think I'm massively shouty and screamy in any sense. I'm just more snappy. Like, I'll snap at something.
I'm possibly snappy. I think it's more literally just like your viewpoint shifts massively.
Right.
And so, therefore, if one day steak is fantastic,
the next day
you're like, well, actually, I might fucking give up meat because I don't like it anymore. I'm going vegan.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, but you've never wanted to be vegan before. Well, I do now. What's the problem with that? And
I know.
That's where the difficulty is. And I'm not always the best at dealing with that sort of...
lack of consistency.
Yeah, inconsistency, because it then frustrates me.
Yeah.
And I probably, rather than just walking away and doing my own thing and thinking, okay, leave it to it, I will probably rise to that and snap at you or accuse you of being inconsistent.
You push. Why have you even that? And it's because you're a solver. Your personality is you make things better, you bring it together, you work it out, and that is your personality. So when I have an opinion or I say something, you think, well, that's not Mrs. J, that's not the person I've been married to for 18 years, and then you kind of go, you'll need to break that down. You have a very much
analytical.
Yes, you're analytical. You're analytical, but you're also a solver. So you have to break it down, understand it. And I can't break it down because I can't give you the answers and the reasons because my brain has gone into hormonal madness and I'm like, it's not working.
And that's why when you said, look, I'm thinking of a private consultation, it's going to cost this, what do you think? Not because I'm sort of some financial bully or anything, just because we're a married couple and we discuss things like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yes, go for it. Have as many consultations as you need.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because ultimately, not everything can be solved on the NHS. We've had to go outside the NHS in the past. Newest for example, times, in the past, we've talked on one of the episodes, our first child is IVF.
Yeah.
That wasn't available to us on the NHS, and we had to spend a lot of money, which was much earlier in our marriage, to get that. That was a choice that we made. Mm. But if we would have waited for the NHS, we probably would not have children now.
No.
I think so.
We wouldn't because of the type of treatment we had as well.
And I don't want to get.
But that brings me to the point. Sorry, just to interject there, of the one size fits all, the NHS IVF protocol would never have got us the family we had.
We needed a specialist, and like I say, I don't want to get political about the NHS. It's a great service.
It is,
but it has limitations because of lack of funding.
And I understand that.
Yeah, and you know the funding, etc. But the problem is, where does the funding come from? Does everybody want to pay more taxes to pay for everything? Well, you might as well, you might as well pay for to do the odd thing privately, as opposed to pay more taxes potentially.
Yeah,
but ultimately, for a couple of £100, hopefully within, well, you said you feel a bit better already, but within 3 to 6 months you will find that balance.
I think so. Yeah, I think a lot of this might come a little bit sooner. I think it's just I'm seeing them again in like 3 to 4 months. But from the bits I'm reading up, I think I might start to feel and see a difference within about 6 weeks.
Which is approaching Christmas.
It's not as if I'm like...
It's not all the time.
I was going to say, and I did say this to the doctor, this is what is so difficult. I think this is important to point out as well, is that it's so difficult because if you break your finger or you break your leg, oh, ouch, I've broken, take me to a doctor, make that better, fix it. But with this... It's so kind of, it trickle feeds you.
It's a bit like, it's a deficiency of
It is. But they're depleting, not depleted. So while they're depleting, you'll have weeks, days, whatever, where you feel you and normal and just your normal self.
Which you are the vast majority of the time.
Yeah, I am. But there's just times where... Now my dips are really dippy, like really down. And I'm like, oh, I'm not really functioning very well with this. We need to... And that's where I've gone, right, no, need to see somebody. And I'm hoping that this will sort of balance it all out. But we'll see.
Yeah, so I think it's good that you talked about it.
Yeah, I hope so.
And it may not be the sexiest conversation for people out there, but hey, you can always skip these bits if you want.
If you're not important to you, then skip them, absolutely. But... I think there'll be some people that will get quite a bit from this.
The feedback we get quite often is from couples who like this sort of thing because then they talk about it amongst themselves.
Uh-huh.
And it's relatable.
Yeah, and as we've said, the vast majority of our listeners are of an age where this could be affecting
them. Yeah, and if you're one of our younger listeners, it will come to you.
Enjoy it while you can.
So, moving on from the HRT stuff and the hormones, etc., let's talk a little bit around the subject that came up recently in a chat that we had and made us think about it. Of obviously, we're organising a social, which we said we'd never do, but hey, things evolve and it's looking like fun. But we like socials.
Yeah, we do.
So we've chosen to organise a social. We really like going on socials. We like the social side of swinging. We like making friends, and that may lead on to something, it may not, but we like the friendships.
Yeah.
So a social seems the ideal thing for us to organise. Now, the thing is, do we like socials because we've been to a lot, so it's where we feel comfortable? Because we've got friends who basically they don't do socials because they don't like them.
Point to them, see them
as a waste of time.
Yeah.
And they do sex clubs.
Yeah.
So they go to a sex club, they have social time at the sex club, and they more likely end up having
sex.
Which is much more where they're aiming for, I think, than us, potentially. But is that because they started off by going to sex clubs, and we started off by going to socials?
So this is the discussion we've said about it being, are you a product of your environment?
Or do you choose your environment to suit who you are?
Hmm.
I think it's a really interesting discussion point. And we're fortunate enough to have lots of friends in the lifestyle now. One couple have shifted slightly their way of doing things at the moment, and they've started doing more socials as we've been talking to them because it started to suit them more.
Yeah.
But is that because they weren't really suited to, I think they mainly did house parties?
Wow, that's intense as well, though, isn't it? A house party. Well, they've shifted because they've not felt that they are in the right environment for them.
Yeah.
I think that's a massive lesson right there, to allow
and
yourself
it's
to
huge
shift.
Huge of them to shift.
To
yeah.
shift, yeah. So that's the key there, I would say, is to be enable yourself to shift as you need to. But yes, I do believe you can become a product of your environment. I think, for example, if all you've ever done is sex clubs or sex club, because we know a lot of people that we know literally have their people in a club and that's where they go.
Yeah.
And that's fine. None of this, we're not being judgy on this.
No, this is all fine.
It's just a discussion point as to why do you choose to do just that club with just those people? On the other hand, are there other people that are going to different clubs every other weekend or meeting up in hotel rooms, just fucking their way through Fab or whatever they want to do? You know, why is that? What is it that kind of makes you make those choices, I suppose?
Comfort zone, which ironically, because we talk about the lifestyle, one of the major things is pushing your boundaries.
Yeah.
Yet so many people stay within the boundaries within the lifestyle. So we go on quite a lot of socials. We enjoy them.
Mm, I think you've got a really big point there. Sorry to interject again on you, but what you just said there is finding your comfort zone within the lifestyle. And I would say I would be very guilty of that because I push the boundary and I push the comfort zone. And then I find a comfortable place within that pushed comfort zone and go, I'm all right here. I'm all right with this. Because the effort involved in pushing the comfort zone a bit more, it can feel trepidation again. It feels a bit, I'm not sure about this.
Let's face it. I mean, for example, the Mansion Ball pushes our comfort zone because that's not a sex club.
No.
Sex clubs, you go to sex club, you know what to expect. This is a salubrious mansion hotel.
I'm all right with that. I can do posh.
But most likely with people fucking everywhere.
See, I don't really have an issue with that.
No, but it pushes that zone. We've not done anything like that before.
Yeah, but those elements of it don't bother me. I'm all right with all that.
So what are you...
It's the sheer number of people, I think. It's the sheer amount of people. Is it going to feel overwhelming if we're talking about that particular thing that, you know, that particular
event? Or does
event?
It just feel literally like another world?
I don't know.
Because sex clubs never do, if I'm honest.
No, they don't. No, and that's why
Apart from Fatter, possibly.
It had elements of possibly being able to be like that, but that's why, what was it, episode 5? Where I was like, give me something after we've been to the first club, give me something, let me feel something. And I just didn't feel anything. And that's where all this comes from. And we're a year down the line where we're now going, right, this is it. But yes, are we a product of the environment that we put ourselves into?
Because we've gone to socials because we wanted to make friends, which we've done lots of. Is that actually now becoming a barrier to moving on more with more play with other couples, etc., because we're enjoying the social side.
Right, so we pull away from play and we do more socials. Is that what you mean? That's us being the product of that environment.
Yeah, whereas, like I say, we've mentioned one separate, there's quite a few actually who just go to clubs.
Yeah.
But when they do the social side, I think they quite like it. Or one couple in particular, I'm thinking. They haven't done, but I think they've enjoyed the social side.
Possibly.
So,
but their comfort zone is a club. So
Their comfort zone is we'll meet up, we'll have sex, and then we'll probably never see you again.
Yeah.
Because that's how they've started, that's how they've gone on.
Yeah. I think it's interesting.
But when they've
been
chatting to us, they've been like, yeah, we enjoy the friendships. They're looking to slow down on sex side a little bit.
Because they hadn't really seen the friendships as an option for them before this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's an interesting one, and it's probably something we'd need to come back to, but I just thought it was a good thing to...
I think it is like we've said, though, isn't it? You choose your environment to suit your needs. Hmm. And our needs, first and foremost, are a social connection. And then, as you said from the start of this conversation, if anything else flows, it flows, and we're open to that. Whereas some people have absolutely no desire, requirement, or need.
No, they
so
just,
there's no need
they
for that.
They just want the sex.
They just want the sex. And so you're naturally, like any animal, and we are animals, you're going to find your environment where you can feel that your needs are being met.
And as long as you're being authentic with how you want to be, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think a couple of times we've seen in the lifestyle, we've been in a while now, we've seen people who aren't really authentic. They'll say they're looking for one thing, but actually, as you sort of peek behind the curtain, you actually realise that isn't. They're after something else.
But and I don't know whether that's them not actually knowing themselves.
I think it probably is.
That's them thinking that they're a certain way.
Mm.
And that's just... That is, you get that in every walk of life, don't you?
Yeah.
That's just the way some people are.
It's just, for me, it's fairly distasteful when you see it.
I agree, yeah.
But no, it's certainly an interesting discussion point, and maybe some of the listeners should go away, have a chat with their friends, their partner, etc. What do they think? Are they only sticking to things because it's within their comfort zone, or it's just what they do?
Yeah. Or are they sticking to it because they understand what their need is and they know that it gets met in a certain environment?
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Mm. Let's hope that when we go to the mansion that our needs are being met, because that's kind of why we're doing this.
Yeah, I'm convinced we'll have a great weekend with our Friday, Saturday night. There's a group of us there Friday night already.
I'm quite looking forward to... Here I go again. I was going to say, I'm quite looking forward to the social side of things. But I am. You know, we've got two nights in a hotel and there's already quite a group of us that have said, you know, we're going to meet up on the Friday night. We've got pre-drinks before we go.
Well, the pre-drinks, that's actually... The pre-drinks at our hotel, 120 spaces, already gone.
Just gone in one hotel.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think though there's more people than just us feeling a little bit unsure. You know, I think that's come across when we've seen today on the chat groups that are a little bit smaller. So not the main chat groups, our sort of offshoot chat groups that we have, where people have said, "Oh, I'm not sure about this," and then I can't keep up with the chat. And
the other thing is because there's so many seemingly hot people, it's easy to fall into that trap of, oh, you know, are people going to like us?
Am I good enough?
Am I young enough? Am I, you know, slim enough?
Yeah.
Whatever anybody's thinking.
Yeah.
But the fact is, nobody can do anything other than go and be you.
Yeah. That's all you can be, we've always said.
Some people like you, some won't. You can't really control that. That's up to everybody
else.
It's
just about finding your people, isn't it? And hopefully we'll have the opportunity to do that on the Friday night. It's quite good with us going the Friday night. And then obviously at the drinks on the Saturday. We'll see people around on the actual Saturday as well. Yeah.
I think we're probably at an advantage in the sense that we know quite a lot of people already.
Mm.
But if we're sort of feeling like we could get lost in the crowd, imagine if it's your first event, virtually know nobody.
Yeah.
It must be.
And there are some people, because they've reached out to us, who have listened and then joined KK and are booked to go on the ball. And this is their very first ever event. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Where do they go from this?
Exactly. Well, probably Venice. Italians.
Yeah. Bring on the Italians.
Yeah. So I think that's probably enough for today, Mrs. G. I've enjoyed it. So thanks for listening, everybody. And our next episode, we'll be talking about whatever the mansion is all about.
I think we will have a full episode dedicated to the mansion.
I agree. The weekend, certainly.
The weekend. Yeah, the weekend, absolutely. But it will be a lot about the mansion, I think.
Yes, so that will probably be in a week or two.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening and catch you next time.
Bye. If any of our gorgeous listeners would like to contact us, we can be reached at Twitter @sexlessswingers, email hello@sexlessswingers.co.uk, or on Fab, the_sexless_swingers.